Thank you, Brother Tommy. Appreciate that. If you will, take and open the Bibles or use one in the pew, whichever one you prefer, to Genesis chapter 1. My English teachers used to tell me that I always cheated about having to read a book because I turned to read the end of it first, and then read the front of it, and then made my report. They told me that was cheating. I was supposed to start at the beginning and read all of it. So we will go from the first. Genesis chapter 1. Title of the message is The Eclipse of Life. I made comments before the eclipse. I said, you know, it's not that I'm downplaying the eclipse or the significance of that only comes around probably once or twice in someone's lifetime, a total eclipse probably once in a lifetime. But the fact that there was such a stir about it, and yet we can have church or revival and it just passes without anybody saying anything, isn't it? But we get worked up about the sun. The book tells us that Jesus spoke when he talked about the Pharisees telling the people to be quiet, and he said, if they do, the rocks will cry out themselves. Nature always exhibits and shines for their creator. And there's a lot more than just seeing the sun and the moon pass each other, what nature told us in that last Monday. So the eclipse of life. Invite you to stand if you are able for the reading, to honor the reading of God's word, Genesis chapter 1, beginning in the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were of the first day. You may be seated. Most of you probably have saw the eclipse for yourself, or you saw it on the newscast and what they show of how those 4 minutes and 6 seconds that it was covered up, what it did. For those of you experienced it, I want to draw your attention to a couple of things, and then we want to talk about that for just a few minutes. Normally when we look, if you noticed, when we look at the sun, it has a yellow cast to it. Time it comes up in the morning to the time it goes down in the evening. It's bright at noonday, but yet it still, when you glance up there, has that yellow cast. Did you notice that as the moon totally blocked it out, when it became to pass where the moon was passing away, the light that began to shine no longer had a yellow cast. It was a brilliant white light, almost as though it were brighter than what it had been, that LED white, what they call the pure white. I mean, and it was, to even glance up of it, it was very difficult without having those goggles or glasses or whatever on, but it was extremely brighter than what it had been even when it started the original passing. It was our normal sun. Now, as that did that, and I watched that, it reminded me, and of course, you know, everything got dark, and we've seen and heard about that before. When Christ was on the cross and he died, the history actually shows that it says that it went dark. That was done by nature of the hand of God as it went dark, and the sun was blotted out. Scripture says that God is light. Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians 4:6, that the light of God shines through Jesus Christ. As I stood watching that, I began to think about it. It came to me that the fact that Jesus had said, well, if the people do not cry out and praise God, that the rocks will. And yet in that moment in time, nature always displays the glory of God and the gospel of God. We just read that God created the heavens and the earth, and in that first day it was nothing but total darkness, and God said, let there be light. He spoke light into being, what we call the sun, as he created, talks about no form. He created the universe. Don't believe that deal about Big Bang. It didn't happen that way. The bang was God's voice, if you want to talk about anything being banging. We've heard about that. Scripture talks about he speaks and everything shakes. But he spoke our universe, the spinning of it, that sun in there, dividing it from night and day. And as he spoke that, there was light on this earth. And it was the end of the first day. And we go through the rest of Genesis that his final, ultimate, grand finale was that he created man in his own image. And then we read about from man he created Eve from the rib of Adam. And that both of them lived in the place called the Garden of Eden. And everything was given to man in that Garden of Eden to be able to tend to all of the vegetation, to eat whatever he liked. God put one requirement that they should not eat of the tree of the fruit of good and evil. We're familiar with that, right? And then sin came in. Sin didn't just happen suddenly. And standing there watching that eclipse, remember the scriptures as reading them, here in the book of Genesis, that the serpent comes and he begins to talk to Eve. And she sees the beauty of that fruit. And he begins to tempt her with that fruit and he says, you eat of it. And she says, oh, I can't do that. Just as that moon is creeping in front of the sun, she says, I can't do that. Because if I do, God has said that I will die. When he goes a little further, Satan says, well, now wait a minute. Maybe you misunderstood there. Surely you won't die. You will become as smart as God. You picture that eclipse easing over little by little. And finally, the point comes. She eats of the fruit. She hands it to Adam, and he also eats of the fruit. Darkness, the total blocking of the sun of what we saw in nature with the eclipse. Do you notice how it was? The birds quit singing. The crickets, things of the night, started chirping like it's nighttime. I got a bunch of chickens. Those of you who got chickens, yours did it too. They roosted for 4 minutes, 6 seconds. I mean, everything roosted up. And then, just like Jesus coming, that God immediately in Genesis chapter 3 will show you that immediately after the sin begins the red thread of salvation that's carried throughout the rest of the Bible. That moon began to move just a little bit. And that glimmer of that extremely bright light. And he began to move. We're standing in the front of the house, out there towards the front, where we can see it real brilliantly, Royce and I. And we start hearing those hens start clucking like they do first thing in the morning. Now, she had done been out there that morning, already gathered up the eggs because they lay first thing in the morning. And they start clucking like they're laying again. Well, a little later on, we walked out there, and dang if they didn't lay again. Nature said, brand new day. And I thought, how that is a brand new day. You see, sin's the same way. It comes and begins even as it clouded the sun that we actually got to see. The gospel nature is proclaiming that gospel. God created that sun. He created that moon. And when they passed in front of each other, just as when the serpent, Satan, entered into the Garden of Eden, that garden that was so beautiful, that was so perfect in every way, no thorns, no thistles. You know, Adam didn't have to go to work every day until he was of age that he could retire. None of that occurred. There wasn't no squabbling between him and Miss Eve. They all got along. They walked in the cool of the evening with God. Wasn't no intercessor. It was they talked to him every day, personally, just like you and I talked with each other this morning. Everything was perfect. And sin begins to creep in. And suddenly the light of God is blocked. Now, preacher, how do you know that? Well, just a little later on in Genesis, God comes to walk with them in the eve like he always does. And he begins to call their name. And what does Adam and Eve do? They go and they hide. God calls again. And I'm going to paraphrase that whole story. You can read it. And he calls again, and finally Adam, he says, "Where are you?" And Adam says, "Well, we're here. We hid because we're naked." And God's words are, "Who told you you were naked?" Now, we don't know how long that was from creation to this point, but I would surmise that that wasn't the second walk they had in the evening. They'd been doing that for a good time, a good period of time. And suddenly, and so his question is just that. Who suddenly has told you that? Of course, we go through the story. Well, the serpent came and said, and I ate the fruit. And, you know, good old Adam says, "Is that woman you gave me that fed it to me?" That's how the fight started. Okay? Just as that moon slowly crept until it blocked completely the light. It's exactly what happened in that garden. You see, that's a perfect picture of sin. It blocks the radiant light of God in our lives. Amen. Darkness came. Can you imagine living in a world where the sun never shines? We know that it gives us nutrients and things that we need for our existence. Kind of stand to reason, then we need God for our existence too, right? He's the creator of all things. And yet it blocked it out. And then what we celebrate is Christmas, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came. And remember about the, and as you look at that, you remember the story there as the babe is born and suddenly the skies lit up. Luke records that the skies lit up and there was a heavenly host to the shepherds and began to proclaim that Jesus Christ had been born. Just as that moon began to sliver away from that sun, that brilliant light lit up. Just as those shepherds saw the sky light up that night, the wise men were following what? A bright star that they followed for over 2 years to come that led them to the Jesus Christ babe after his birth. What a picture of the gospel. We were made in the image of God. He's the one that created us, and Scripture tells us that He knew us even before we were born. He already had plans for us. We were the ultimate fandango of His creation because He gives us a soul. He makes us in His image. He gives us the privilege, the greatest freedom of all, to choose to accept Him or to live and live in the light, or to live in the darkness, to go on our own path. But yet, the light of the world was Jesus Christ. And the same is true with our lives. We have a life that's just built around darkness. And when you really think about it, you look back, those of you who already know Jesus Christ, you look at your past life, and what was there is we stumbled around in the darkness trying to find our way. David writes in Psalms, he says that you are the light to my path in Psalms 27 and 1. He says again in Psalms 119, he says, it is you are the light of my life. You are my light. You light my pathway. And the same is true. You see, we went along just thinking we were cruising as it is, and that Holy Spirit begins to come to our heart and woo us and tell us, look, there's more to life than this. In fact, we have a God spot built within us. We try to fill it with anything and everything we can, and nothing ever satisfies until God comes into that spot. And there suddenly is light in our life. The darkness has gone away. We begin to understand the light of the world. We understand what it is to be able to pray. Things we cannot control, but yet we want to see the best of things, and yet we may not know what the best decision is, but you and I have the opportunity to pray and to ask. That's why we give praises for the prayers that are answered. That light is shined to you and I that, hey, there is a better life. Jesus says that when you and I accept Him as our Lord and Savior, as He told the chief priest there, He said, your life begins all over again. And He said, you mean I got to go back and be reborn? Again, His eyes were focused in the dark on the world. And Jesus wasn't talking about the physical rebirth. He's talking about the spiritual rebirth. And literally, Jesus does that when we come to know Christ. He gives us a different heart. He gives us a different set of eyes that we have a different outlook on life. You see, it gives us that whole deal in that eclipse. That's probably not what most people saw. I'm not special. It's simply because I already know Him. He opens that up for you and I to see. You see, the same is true after our physical life ends here. When we read about hell in the Bible, it talks about there is no light, it's dark. You say, well, wait a minute, it's a fiery place. Yep, you're right. But even when we have a campfire out here in the dark of night, it gives light around to where it glistens, but it's not a bright light. You can't see all the way through the pasture. You can see what's lit right there in front of you. But yet, Revelation tells us in chapter 21 that in heaven there's no sun and there's no moon because God Himself radiates all of light. And it's a brilliant, bright, white light. See, I thought about that too. You remember when Moses, when that thing creeped out and how suddenly it appeared so bright. You remember Moses, God said, I want to see you. And God said, no man can look upon me. And I thought about as bright as that came up, where normally, I mean, you can take a glance at the sun. Yeah, if you stare at it, it's going to blind you. But normally you can take a glance up there, woo, that's a bright. But that light was totally different. It was so clear, so white. Even just the glance really hurt your eyes. Remember, he had Moses turn his back and he said, I will pass by. And then as he came down from the mountaintop, even the people commented about how he radiated. His whole constitution was changed, just the radiation about him. That's the light we have in heaven. You see, hell is the other way. It's dark. It's cold. There's no warmth. Did you notice the temperature change as well in that eclipse? Revelation tells us there will be these battles and the war, and the sun will be clouded completely. We understand that a little bit in our country. There's certain states are up north. As you get to the northern part, to the North Pole and all, even in Alaska with the sun, they see the brilliant lights, but they go away. But there's no warmth from it. The warmth of hell is strictly a burning fire. And those in hell, according to the Bible, just like you and I, have a rejuvenated body. Ours is for the light and for love. And for life. The ones in hell rejuvenate just simply so by being burned, it reinstitutes itself to be burned again and again and again and again. Scripture says the torment for of all of eternity. You see, nature really does present God's glory and His story of the gospel. We had the privilege of seeing that last week. That 4 minutes and 6 seconds told the entire gospel story from the creation all the way to forever. And that's 4 minutes and 6 seconds. Sin does exactly that. It blocks the light of God out. Look at it another way with science. Many of you probably haven't had the opportunity to see it. My past life of having to go oftentimes to autopsies and all. In those autopsies, when they take and they show where cancer is, it's black. Those of you in the medical field understand that. Cancer is black. You have that real fresh red tint and pink tint of human flesh, but where there's cancer, it's completely black. The rest of that flesh is full of life. That cancer is dark, dead. And that's sin. So you see, all of nature cries out about the creation. Question becomes, are you living in the light? Or are you living in the dark? That simple. It's just like heaven and hell. I'm amazed at the people, you know, but again, it's the darkness that hides the truth from them. They believe there is a heaven, but they don't believe there's a hell. You can't have one without the other. You can't have a room fully lit up and have it dark. For even as we've seen in the Christmas candlelight, even in here, and it pretty much you turn all these lights off, this place gets dark. There ain't no windows. There's a little crack up in that corner if the sun's out. But at nighttime, it's gone. But yet one candle becomes that light. And just as we do on that Christmas candlelight service, you see, Jesus says in Matthew 5, you and I are the light to the world. We're that one candle. Just as Christ came and that candlelight is shared from one to another, and we get it all around this room with all of the people in here with their light, and they raise it up, and this place becomes lit. The darkness is gone. Has the light of Jesus come into your life this morning? Or maybe you know Him, but you've kind of gone astray and got off of God's highway, and you're back on some backcountry road that's got potholes in it 3 feet deep, 6 feet wide, and your truck's kind of buried in there and got high-centered. That's what sin does. It high-centers your life. There's no smooth pathway. But you see, yet in God's world, there's still going to be ups and downs. But the greatest thing of all, when you and I come to those big potholes in the road, He tells us He lifts us and carries us over that pothole. Amen. All of nature provides it. You and I are supposed to have the intelligence God gave us. Don't be blinded by the darkness. Invite you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. If you're here in